yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host,
all right,
Rob,
there's no human
Bradford
being on the planet I would rather talk to more than Frank Mazzucca, who is an iconic figure at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. I know that from every time I come here, but now we're here at the All-Star Game, and he is the guy who I can honestly say, Frank, if I had to rank the people in baseball who travel around look forward to seeing, you are at the top of the list.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Well, it comes with the territory. Long time ago, I mean, I'm here 28 years. Prior to this, I worked for a bank for 40 years. I will be 85 years of age New Year's Eve of this year.
Oh, my God.
So it's a long time and what have you, but if I had to do all over again my 40 years at the bank, I would wish I would be here with the Phillies.
So, as I said, we look forward because of your smiling face, because we like to talk to you, but also because you give great ice cream. You dish out the best ice cream, in baseball, in the history of baseball. But if you can just talk to me a little bit, you talked a little bit about your journey, how you got to this spot where helping out the Phillies and being the guy who's put smiles on faces through ice cream and your personality. Talk to me about your journey a little bit.
Well, I started with the Phillies, as I say, 28 years ago. And how I got this job, I actually maybe tripped upon it because I had just retired from the bank after 40 years. I started when I was 16 and a half. Here it is, 96 and a half. 1996 was my 40th year. They offered me a package and I took it. Along with the package came 2 years salary, so I was like a bum just staying at home getting very bored. Took my son to a game here late in September of 1999. And I seen these guys walking around, honestly, with badges on, but different color shirts. So being a salesman from the bank for 40 years, I called one over and I said, look, I know you guys all work for the Phillies, but what's the difference between the shirts? And they had told me the blue shirt guys are security, the white shirts were maybe host and hostess, and the green shirts were the ground crew. So they said to me, mister, you want an application? I said, sure. I said, I love baseball and so forth and so on. And this was late in September of 1999. I get a call from the Phillies, January, I guess, of year 2000, from the Phillies front office. Are you still interested? I says, of course I am. So I came down here for an interview, very quick, boom, boom. I knew enough about baseball. And they hired me then. I started as a host.
Oh.
I started as a hostess, greeting people, coming in, brushing off a seat. They sit down, and that was it, for 2 years. Then all of a sudden I get word, my supervisor, Jerry, calls me and simply says that they needed some help up there in the press room. So I don't even know where the press room was. This is at the Vet Stadium now. So somebody showed me where it is and I've been up there ever since. And I started out maybe as a cashier, took care of the salad bar. I served a little bit and I've been on that ice cream machine or the ice cream bar actually for a good 27 out of my 28 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, I know the flavors, and they let me go. They let me do my own ordering and what have you. I know.
Oh, you order the flavors?
Well, I order the flavors. I hand a list to my supervisor, okay, and he orders it, you know, over the phone and what have you. It comes in, and they let me do it because I know what you want. I know what the employees want. I know what you guys want as coming journalists, reporters, staff members, and so forth, and everybody seems to be happy.
Everyone, there's so many questions. Number one, before I forget, the Home Run Derby, I went down the stands, and I'm walking around just looking for something to eat, and I saw that they had an ice cream in a helmet.
Yeah.
And the first thing, Frank, I thought of was, am I allowed to guess this? Because I feel like this is sacrilegious to get ice cream in a helmet. Now, we should know, you're not dishing out ice cream during the All-Star game,
correct,
right?
That is so correct. Now, the only thing, what am I doing here, actually, is helping our staff out, and the only food, our cooks, are making food for people, and they're putting them downstairs in the pantries, the employees and what have you, who are here the whole day. The only thing that they're doing up here, and I got that press room is full, but almost 200 people yeah. until game time. And they're drinking water. I mean, they're drinking soda. They're drinking this and that and everything. And it's a matter of I'm doing a little bit of like a Julie of the Love Boat. Hello, how are you? And so forth and so on. So you look, it doesn't cost one penny to be nice. Yeah. It doesn't cost one penny to talk to you and be good. And I'm above nobody. I'm equal just as well as anybody else. But I enjoy what I'm doing. But I do not want to retire yet, because I don't want to stay home and wait for a mailman, look out the window, or, you know, waiting to die. It's not in my repertoire. So
well, fine. You're obviously vibrant, and like I said, you make me feel a little bit better about getting that ice cream in a helmet, so I got to be honest with you. So.
No, you did well. All matter right. of fact, a lot of times, we get it from our suppliers, the little helmets.
And
I give them to the. I usually give them to the ladies upstairs, you know, as they come in and they get a kick out of it and what have you. So it's anything to make them happy. I'm a people person, and you guys are all our bread and butter also. So it's a two-way street.
Now, ice cream and baseball obviously go together. Not only when it doesn't come in a helmet. Tell me about the evolution of scooping ice cream. Like, what is, like, now this, you can do this in your sleep. Like, if I blindfolded you, you could say, oh, okay, now, Frank, I needed to go scoop 2 scoops of the rum raisin. It's boom, 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 boom. It's instinctual. But tell me about the evolution of you scooping ice cream.
Well, it's so much, it's like a large church with all different pews. And I'll give you an example, such as, in all due respect to Miami, if they come in, they don't bring a big staff with them. The Dodgers are coming in here. I mean, the Asian people will be here, lots of them, and I tease everybody. I don't think they have ice cream in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because they'll come in droves, you know what I mean? And, you know, they'll get 2 dips of this, 1 dip of
that. I was going to ask, is Los Angeles the most aggressive ice cream eating media court?
I would say so, which I'm kind of looking forward to because, again, I know them.
Yeah.
And I know what they want, so I have my order in already knowing what they want when they come in the latter part of this month. And the same thing with our employees. I mean, they know exactly what I get and so forth and so on. And, I guess one of the top brands, if not the top brand, is the Grand Central Station. It's graham crackers, all chopped up and ice cream, which is really good. Moose Tracks, Vanilla Bean is the old school, that's me. And so again, it's just like, I just have a feeling I know what you guys want. That's a part of the business in which I enjoy very much. It's satisfying that.
So I have to ask, when you were a kid, like were you ice cream, like because restraint must be, I don't know if it's a thing or if you're like, I see it so much, I don't want it. But have you been an ice cream kid?
No, when I was a kid, there was 4 of us, 4 children, mom and dad. Thursday was dad's treat. He used to send me down to the store. There was an ice cream store right down the street. And we used to get his favorite for all of us.
Yeah.
Butter pecan.
Oh, yeah.
And he just loved that, you know, and on that. And, but being here, like I say, I mean, even yesterday, there was no food, but we were pretty packed up here, you know? And they were all asking for ice cream. I said, you come Thursday. I says, when we come back, I can get 2 scoops. And you get a laugh with it and what have you, you know? But it's a lot of fun.
So when you talk about when the team does well, obviously, everybody around here is happy when the team does well. Unfortunately, the team has done well. It's gone some great runs. Tell me a little how different it is. Obviously, you have more people when you get to the playoffs and everything else. But do you have a little spring in your step when you're dishing out the ice cream?
I don't move. I mean, sometimes I'm at that stand, my ice cream station here for a while. And
really?
I mean a while. Because, again, see, we open always 2 hours before game pitch. And we close 1 hour after the first pitch. So we're open 3 solid hours. And those 3 solid hours, you treat them like a business. This is a business.
Yeah.
So you got to, because as an example, who comes in first to eat are usually the camera people, Xfinity people, the camera guys, because they got to eat quickly in 45 minutes and get back to their stations and their cameras and what have you. Then all hell breaks loose. I mean, the staff comes in, the other employees and what have you, the visiting teams come in, the press, the writers, the journalists, and so you got them counted and what have you. Like, give you an example, a Comcast won't be in Thursday because it's an ESPN game. So usually I'm about 30 people short then, because Comcast will bring in maybe 63 people to eat, ESPN maybe 35. So, I mean, I refer that back to our cooks, too, because they know how much to cook. So you got to know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah, I do see. Yeah. There's a science behind this. Yeah.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, you do not want to waste food by no means and what have you. But, again, you don't want to undercook.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't want nobody to go out there and buy a pizza. We'll do respect to the pizza people here. But it's just you got to know what you're doing. And the nice part about it is I enjoy this so much. In 28 years, I missed one day.
That's it?
And that was last year, and I apologized, only because my wife was sick.
Oh, okay.
So when I called in, I said, don't you worry, don't you worry. In 40 years with a bank,
wow.
I only missed 3 days.
Wow.
2 days is when my sister passed away. So I enjoy coming to work. I'm a people person. I enjoy what I'm doing, and I enjoy talking and just gabbing with the people. Sometimes I talk too much.
No, I mean, believe me, you got me ready to run through the wall. I mean, this is, like I said, like, this is what it's all about. Baseball, ice cream, and meeting people and talking to people. And Frank, this is one of the great things about baseball, is that there's so many elements of it where we learn and we talk, right?
Well, you do. I mean, my routine is I come in here, no matter how cold or how warm it is, I walk around the stadium 3 times during the summer. During the winter, I'll usually work the lunch for the employees. Just watch, because it's too damn cold.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing when I was at the pit.
Yeah.
I had the 700 level. And my particular duties at the, if you remember the Vet Stadium, you had that big scoreboard in deep center field.
Yeah.
And there was a space between the two scoreboards. All seats. You had about, I don't know, whatever it was, 1,000 seats there. I was on one side, my partner's on the other side. Nobody sat in those seats unless the Yankees came in or was opening day, an all-star game where it was packed. Because you're talking about 66,000 seats.
Yeah.
And some of the reasons were because there's a lot of nonsense going on up there between arguing, fighting, whatever. Yeah. So we just didn't let nobody sit up there. I didn't even know what a ticket looked like for 2 years.
Really?
Because, again, that was my duty.
Yeah.
That was my function. That was my duty to be up there, just nobody up there. But again, I mean, it's knowing what you're doing. And I look at the people that work here. I mean, sometimes I don't even know, but Mister, can I look at your badge? I says, I used to do this. You know, you were asking me the badge, so you show them your badge or whatever. It's because, again, I appreciate what they're doing. The Phillies appreciate what they're doing. The Phillies appreciate, and I'm talking about top shelf people, Mr. Middleton, everything that we do. It's a good family. It's a fantastic place to work as a part-time job. Fantastic as a full-time job.
Yeah.
Keep your nose clean, you work here. When you're ready to retire, major league pension, it's pretty good.
The last thing is, this is a tough one, if not the most memorable person you've ever dished ice cream to.
Mike Schmidt.
All right.
You give me a quick little example of what I'm talking about? This, Mike Schmidt worked here approximately 6 years, only on the weekend as an announcer. His first year, he went Tommy McCarthy's booth, they were over there broadcasting. He went from the booth to the coffee machine, where I am. Coffee machine to the booth, back and forth, back and forth. But never ate. At the end of that first year, I had enough guts to walk around my counter. I went right up to him. I says, Michael, don't you like ice cream? Don't you like to eat? He said, I don't know where it's at. So he says, right back at me. I pointed.
Yeah.
He said, oh, now I know, and this and that, and this. I says, Mike, by the way, how's Donna doing? He says, how do you know Donna? It's his wife.
Yeah.
I says, well, Donna and the kids. I says, I remember, I mean, my sons and I, you know, we loved the Phillies, we loved you and what have you when you're playing. We were in Pittsburgh when you hit number 500.
Yeah.
And Donna and the two children were in the audience, and they were going crazy, you know, because you hit number 500 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I was there. He says, you know what? And here's what he says to me. He says, you know, I'll tell you something. He says, it's so nice to talk to somebody once in a while about something rather than baseball. So it kind of opened up the door where at the end, the second year comes around. At the end of the second year, he come up to me, he says, Frank, he says, I won't be talking to you in the winter, have a good winter, this and that. He says, but I answer all my mail. So Mike, I don't know where you live. I don't know. He gives me his cell number.
Yeah.
His phone number at home, his address. He says, when you're down there, come on over in Juniper, Florida. You know, I mean, they all tease me over there. Oh, you and Mike Smith. You're talking about Hall of Famer, this and that. But he's good people.
Yeah.
And here's a good one for your podcast. I asked him a question. And this is what I like about, too. I mean, I'll ask somebody, no matter who it is. I mean, because all these jocks that are broadcasters are ex-players. Sure. I've seen these guys play.
Yeah.
So I asked Mike a few years ago. I says, Mike, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want it. If you had things to do over again, what would you do? You know what he told me?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with baseball. He says, if I have things to do over again, and I admire the man for saying this, he says, I'd rather be a good husband and a great father. To me, it was very touchable.
Yeah.
I mean, it touches somebody for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fantastic. He didn't have to say that. No. Or, yeah, he could have talked about, you know, hitting 48 homers, yeah. You know what I mean, or what have you. But, yeah. I mean, here's a grown man. I remember when he ran out with a wig on in the Veterans Stadium many years ago because the fans were booing him. So, like, they weren't going to recognize number 20. But, I mean, I talked to him maybe once a month. Now, September 27th, that's his birthday. I will send him a card. Send him a Christmas card. He sends on me and my family a Christmas card. So, out of my most precious moments, I guess, it would be with Mike. But then again, I mean, Bob Uecker was great to me. You know, Carey family, you're talking about now. Chris, he's the fourth generation.
Yep.
I think he's with the Cardinals or the Yates.
Cardinals.
So I seen him earlier this year, and I had just a fantastic family.
Yeah.
And the point is that I'm getting is, how can I give this up? You know, I know these people, and it's a lot of fun to speak.
Thank you for being you, and thank you for joining.
My pleasure.